You're listening to Focus on the Bible.
This is an important show today, friend, and a very personal show for me. In a fallen, broken, busted world where things aren't as they were created, all of us have our own challenges. Well, right now, I have an invasion of sorts into my own life, a mass, they say, on my brain. I covet your prayers as we walk through this challenge of life, but we also look to the Lord and know that the battle belongs to Him. King Jehoshaphat shows us how it's done in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 as we face these battles of life. Let's focus on the Bible together. In verse number 1 and 2, we find Jehoshaphat's challenge, the problem that he's confronted with suddenly in the pages of 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Here we go. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria, and behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Gedi." So a great mighty battle is launched against Jehoshaphat and Israel. Three armies marching all together to face this great man of God who will go down in history as a king who did right. So there's the challenge, verse 1 and verse 2, verse number 3 through 13 now. Jehoshaphat kept the facts straight. Here we go, verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. And so Jehoshaphat's first instinct is to fear. That is, he simply faces his problem. He sees what the challenge is, as it is in truth, a great challenge that no doubt would defeat him. But then, out of his fear comes this great desire to seek the Lord and to proclaim that the people fast and pray against the enemy. Judah gathered itself in prayer together, and so does Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat stands himself in the congregation to be the spiritual leader of his people. In verse 6, he begins his prayer, "O Lord God of our fathers, and art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever?" Verse 9, "If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help." And so those are the words of faithful Jehoshaphat. "Lord, you've done it before. You gave our people this land. Abraham's people indwelt the land because you delivered on your promise to them. And so, Lord God, aren't you the God of heaven? Aren't you the God of all the earth? And you're able to stand for us." Skip, verse number 12 now. "O our God, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee." And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. There's a time when a man must face the truth. It's not a time to hide. It's a time to face the enemy and see it for what it is. It's a time to be honest and to call on God, to ask others into the ministry of prayer, and to face that truth, nothing hidden, even when it comes to wife and children and little ones who watch a man of faith go through a trial with God. Jehoshaphat now has the facts straight. And that's the least that we who know the Lord, who know what the Bible says, can do when we go through these trials of life. The worst thing imaginable to do is to allow the imagination to run away, to allow these wild and weird thoughts to prevail in our mind. How many times in counseling sessions have I told stricken people, fearful people, okay, so it's happened, and there's a great enemy against you right now, but let's keep the facts straight. The facts are in the beginning, and the facts will remain in the end. And the trial that we go through, God knows the end in the very beginning. He is our resource. He's all we have. Now let's skip to this word of assurance that God gives to Jehoshaphat and to Israel through the great prophet Jehaziel. Pick it up with me in verse 14. Then upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here's what Jehaziel now gives as the word of assurance from God to these fearful people in Israel. Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Could greater words of comfort ever be spoken to a believing child of God facing a challenge than those words of Jehaziel? The battle is not yours, but God's. And friend, it's still true in our day. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's greater than any problem. He's higher than any fact. He is the most noble thought our brain could ever think. The power of God is not restricted. God has all the might we need. Whatever we face in this life, in the turmoil and chaos of a broken world. So this great word of assurance comes through Jehaziel, the servant of the Lord. He says, ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. This is man's highest spiritual response, to worship the Lord as the giver of life and the provider of mercy, to worship him in the face of a great challenge. And that is exactly the course of Jehoshaphat set by this great leader of the people of God. That is, turn your eyes on the Lord. Don't look at the enemy. Don't worry about the enemy. Set your face to the Lord. And they began then to hear Jehoshaphat command them in verse 20 as they go out to see this battle that belongs to the Lord. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. So Jehoshaphat commands Israel to believe in the Lord, to believe in the one they have believed in, to continue to walk by faith in the provision of God and the victory that only he can bring. And Israel did believe. They did believe. And they showed their belief by beginning to sing and to worship on this great day of battle. And as they began to sing their faith and worship the Lord that delivers his people, the Lord ambushed the enemy. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. So those who are from the Mount of Seir, who now march against the people of God, find themselves under attack because the Lord battles against them now. And so two of the three enemy armies turn on those from the Mount of Seir and destroy them. And then the remaining two turn on one another, and every man then fights against his own army. So you find the answer in the end in verse 24. When Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. Every single soldier who brought himself that day to fight against the God of heaven and his people was found dead by the watchtower in the wilderness. Jehoshaphat now is going to bring his people home. They return to Jerusalem to worship their God again after the great victory brought by God. Now, friend, I want to tell you today, for me, as I explained earlier, this is very personal. I face an enemy today, unseen except on scans they take of my body, an enemy that so many people fear at night, an enemy that can take our lives freely in a fallen, broken world. But we have the assurance from God that God, the God of heaven, the God of earth, is bigger than a mass growing on a man's brain. God has this. I want to encourage you today that we win whose faith is in Jesus. There is nothing this world can bring against us that could take away the gift of God and an eternity of joy spent in the presence of our Lord. Friend, could I leave you with these words today? Two things. One, if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, friend, he's all you have. And just as Jehoshaphat could pray to God on that day and say, God, we have no might. Well, we have no might either. We're sinners, we're fallen, and our enemy is going to get us in the end unless God prevails against it. Jesus prevailed against our sin challenge, the greatest problem we could ever face, when he took that battle on himself. At the cross, he went to fight for you, friend. He took all the enemy could deliver him. It killed him. Sin put Jesus to death, voluntarily fighting for our salvation. And the Bible so rightly in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, calls Jesus the captain of our salvation. Friend, please understand today, Jesus did not come to fight that battle to help you be saved. You have no might. You have nothing in which to fight. Being saved by grace means we get something we don't deserve. Being saved through faith means we recognize that we have nothing by which to fight. It's only by faith in the captain of our salvation that God would give us the victory over sin, hell, death, and the grave, and give us the gift of God, eternal life. Friend, if you never believed in Jesus, won't you right now, please, I would beg you to do such a thing today, right now, this moment. And then number two, friend, if you're a believer in Jesus today, face the challenges of life, whatever life brings to you in a fallen, broken world, by faith. And please learn the lesson of Jehoshaphat that we have nothing in which to fight. The battle doesn't belong to us. The battle belongs to the Lord. He can win anything for those children who believe in him.
This episode is a production of Focus Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. For questions or comments about this episode or another biblical topic, you can write to us at Focus Ministries Incorporated, P.O. Box 498, Danielsville, Georgia, 30633. For more information about our ministry, you can visit our website, freddycoyle.org. That's FREDDIECOILE.org. We hope to see you again for next week's episode of Focus on the Bible.